Episode 1167, My Strength is My Story with Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. Sacred Rest.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people. Happy, happy day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have a doctor in the house. Let's raise the roof. We have Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith with us, and you know what? Have you been feeling a bit tired? You're going to want to stay tuned. It's all about sacred rest. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Dr. Sandra's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, I'm telling you, we had a very impactful conversation. Oh yeah, it was WWE all the way. We talked about God. We talked about sleep. We talked about children. We talked about changing your life from the inside out. You will be totally changed when it comes to how you see sleep, when it comes to see how you see your rest, what it really means to have rest. What is it in your life? Where are you going? Do you have that sacred rest? Are you ready to recover your life, renew your energy, and restore your sanity? Dr. Sandra is going to show you how, and her testimony is incredible. Yes, we're laying on the floor at times. We're screaming and shouting, amen. It's a fun one. Without further ado, let's welcome on in Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith with Sacred Rest. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. Today is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us an extraordinary doctor in the house. Oh yes, raise the roof. We have Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. She is a wife of 17 years and a mom to their two boys, tween and a teen. Oh dear Gussie, you better say some prayers. She received her bachelor's in biochemistry and went on to graduate with honors from medical college in Nashville. Dr. Sandra is a national and international media resource on the mind-body-spirit connection. She has been featured in Focus on the Family, Women's Day, Red Book, and First for Women magazine. You can follow her as she's an expert on Dr. Oz's sharecare.com. Dr. Dalton Smith is the author of two books now, Set Free to Live and Come Empty, and her brand new book, Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Are you feeling a little tired? Maybe you need some rest because you're not as rested as you are busy. Well, let's see what we can learn about sacred rest. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
Hi, great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I am so excited. We have a doctor in the house and we've got the sun shining here. It's not raining, except you told me it was raining in your area.
Yes, we still have rain, unfortunately.
Oh, well, hopefully take a deep breath and maybe by the end of our conversation, you will bring out the sun and the joy.
Let's hope so.
That's right. We all need that sun and joy, which helps to bring that sacred rest. Well, I got to ask you, what keeps you dancing for joy?
Taking every moment as it comes. I think so often it's so easy to get ahead of ourselves. We get in that mindset that if I can just plan out my life and get it perfect and have God kind of line up with what I want to do, then everything will be great. And I really have just had to learn that I have to take each day as it comes to really fall in love with the moments and just take every moment and allow it to just be in of itself without trying to make it something that it isn't.
Fall in love with the moment. We all need to do that more often. We're too much stuck in our to-do list, and we have got listeners right now thinking, what am I supposed to be doing in 10 minutes or 30 minutes? Where will I be? No. Hone on in. Let's bring it down right here in this moment. Fill your heart, fill your breath. I love it. Well, you're a mom of two boys, but mm-hmm. for you, Dr. Sandra, you grew up without a mom.
I did.
Take us back a little bit.
It was difficult. When you're a child, and my mother died in childbirth, so I never knew her. She never held me other than the hospital. And my dad was in the military, so he wasn't prepared to come home from that hospital a widow. And so I ended up being raised by my great-grandmother, who was 77 years old at the time I was born. So you can imagine, it's very different lifestyle than if I had grown up with a mom who was in her 20s when I was born, or when she had me. So going to school, I always had this issue, particularly with God, because I grew up in the South. I grew up in Georgia. So in the South, we say things like, well, God needed an angel, or God needed your mother more. And they're meant to be comforting, but they ended up really making me look at God as just very selfish. And so I had a very hard time with religion and with God and what all of that meant, and just felt like I was missing out on a lot as a child because I didn't have that mother-daughter type relationship, or even just really a standard upbringing, what most people consider a mom-dad household type upbringing.
Wow, I can only imagine the struggles and really the emptiness to a degree, and you didn't find it in God. Because when did you actually become a Christian?
I accepted Jesus pretty early on because in my head, in my teenage head, I separated God and Jesus out. I didn't have an understanding of the Trinity, so it wasn't a theological experience. It was more, I felt like Jesus I could relate to. I felt like he could relate to pain and disappointment and all of the human experience. And so I had him kind of close to heart, but Father God, I really couldn't understand and really didn't like, if I'm going to be 100% honest. I didn't feel like he had been fair with how he had dealt with me within my life. So it was strange because I separated the two out. So I was a believer, but I still didn't have that relationship. It was more of a head knowledge of who Jesus was, but I didn't have that relationship portion to it. So it was well into my 20s. I was almost 30 before I got to the point where I actually started mending that relationship with the whole Trinity, with Father God and Jesus and Holy Spirit, and just getting a full understanding that it wasn't really about religion. It was about relationship. And I wasn't going to find what I was looking for. I wasn't going to find that sense of peace and of being in a home, a kind of a spiritual home where I felt like I belonged, until I got to that point where I actually could forgive how my life had went. Not that God ever needs forgiveness, but I had to get to the point where I could trust him to be able to rest and to be able to move forward in my life.
Well, with that upbringing and all, come on, you're a doctor. Some people would say, how in the heck did you get to where you are today? Seriously.
Grit and determination is what I would say. Sometimes when life deals you those hard blows like that, the first thing that happens is you feel the pain. And then after that, you figure out how not to hurt. And so that was kind of how my life went. So I felt like I had to be in control, that I needed to keep all the pieces together and I needed to have a life plan. So as a very young child, as a teenager, I started looking at how am I going to control my life so that it ends the way that I want it to end, with the, you know, the two-story house and the pool in the back and the great husband and the, you know, well-adjusted kids. How am I going to get to that point? And what do I have to do to make sure that I've done all I can do to make that happen? And so that's how really the worker bee in me got birthed. It was from those experiences, because I didn't want my kids to eventually live in that situation, which is bizarre because we really have no control over life and death. You know, that's not something we feel like we do. As a doctor, I should really know that we have no control over it. But honestly, we feel like we do. We feel like some way we can kind of keep all the pieces of our lives together and have our pretty plan work out the way we want to without God. And it just isn't so. We have to be in a situation where we are flexible and open to however life happens. But at that initial beginning point for me, it was about holding on to the reins as tight as I could and steering that ship in the direction I wanted it to go.
Well, you steered it well because you passed. You got through it with honors on top of that. It wasn't like you just graduated, but you graduated with honors. Training's gone by, and now you find yourself, though, on the floor, burned out. You're an internal medicine physician, correct?
I am.
Yes. So you're used to looking inward, so to speak, on our bodies, not just, you know, dermatology where we're just looking on the outside, but you're looking at the person from the inside out. Here, yes. You're a physician and you're burned out. That doesn't make sense.
Well, that's the thing. In medicine, when we talk about internal medicine, we really are talking about the biochemistry of it. And that's actually what I majored in, was the biochemistry of it. We're looking at the cells and the organs, and we're looking at how they interact with each other and what hormones are being put off and are the hormone levels correct and those types of things. So that's what they're taught. That's what we're taught. That's what medicine is constantly trying to help us to be able to understand. And that's great for treating high blood pressure and diabetes and, you know, all of these other medical problems. But what I found was so many of the people who were coming into my office, and even myself, it didn't stop with that. Our lives were breaking down in every other area. It was breaking down in our relationships. It was breaking down in our happiness and our emotions, our joy level, our ability just to experience peace, to be creative, to be innovative. And that's what happened to me. I got to a point where physically, I mean, there was nothing that on the surface anyone would have looked at my life and said, oh, you know, there's a problem there. But I didn't feel good. You know, I had all those things. You know, I talked about holding onto the reins. Well, I held onto the reins, so I had everything I wanted. I was in the house that I wanted. I had all the different, you know, things that I had said would make me happy. And I was standing there in that moment, and I was anything but happy. I was depleted. I just felt like there was nothing left of me. And so in that moment, I had gotten the kids home from daycare, and you know, they were kids, so they never get tired, it seems. They were doing their stuff. So I put them in front of the TV and I set them down with some type of snack, and the dog's running around doing whatever she's doing. And I just, for the moment, you know, they were laughing. I mean, this is gonna sound horrible. They were laughing. And I was so just overwhelmed. In my head, I was thinking, why don't they just shut up? Why don't they just be quiet? I just want a minute of peace. And so in desperation, I laid out on the hardwood floor in my foyer. Actually, the foyer, that's right behind me here. I laid out on the hardwood floor. And in that moment, it was just like, it was as if God stepped into the room in that moment. I can't explain it any other way. The peace that came over me in those few moments of laying there were so overwhelming. And it was as if he was inviting me into something I had no idea what I was being invited into. So I'm laying here on this floor, and my mind is just going through all of these thoughts. And then, of course, I'm at a peaceful state, so I'm not paying attention anymore. And my husband walks in. And I didn't realize he'd walked in, because I'm at the front, you know, I'm at the door. So he didn't have to go far to see me laid out in the living room. So he walks in and he kind of leans over and looks down and he's like, what are you doing on the floor? And I lost it. I mean, I wept like I had lost somebody. I was weeping on the floor and tears just running down my face into my hair. And at that moment, the thought that came to mind was that I was burning. But not just simply that I was burned out, because I had already been burned out. That's what got me to the floor. But that God was doing something in me. He was igniting something in me I didn't understand. And it was burning out the part of me that felt like I had to control it all. It was starting to open up the thought process that there's more. There's more. And I can either head in one direction where I'm burned out and stressed out, or I could head in the other direction and let him keep igniting and burning and kindling whatever that was inside of me till I'm on fire for him and on fire with his passion and with his hope and his joy. And thank God that's the direction I ended up going in, because honestly, that other direction would have killed me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so sad, because I really believe a lot of us are just living that life, and we haven't come to that God moment where he's got us laying down on the floor at the foot of the cross going, hello, you know, I'm going to take everything from you if you don't start paying attention, because you're not doing what I designed you to do.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Mm-hmm. Well, and hence then your book. sacred rest, recover your life, renew your energy, restore your sanity. You all will want to pick up your own copy of Dr. Dalton Smith's book. It's incredible. Of course, we will have those links in the show notes. As you're laying there on the floor, you're learning over time, burning out, burnt out, I'm done. I've got to find, there's something that's not feeding me any longer. Mm-hmm. You write in your book that there's a difference between rest and sleep. What are those distinctions?
Well, this is the thing. So often I notice that in medicine and in science, we talk about sleep deprivation. And I think that's the mindset that a lot of us have to switch from. It's not simply sleep deprivation. It's actually rest deprivation is the epidemic that we have in this country right now. Because if you think about it, if it's just sleep, you know, everybody goes to sleep for the most part at night. They may not get the full 6 to 8 hours, but they do go to sleep. And if it was purely sleep deprivation, then you would start feeling better at some point just by getting more sleep. And I find most people who have a problem with a rest deficit, they try to go to sleep and they do, but they wake up and they're still tired. And I think that's the thing to first start understanding is that sleep is purely a physical function. It's purely your body going through a physical, biological response to rest or to get your body to a point where it is in passive rest, where you are not in control anymore. Because in the different stages of sleep, when you're going through the non-REM stage 1 through 4, by the time you get to stage 4, if you have children, then you've seen when they fall asleep and you pick them up and they're like a rag doll.
Yes.
I mean, that's stage 4 sleep. I mean, they're not waking up. You literally have to shake them or scream or something to wake them up. And it's very difficult for us adults to get to that same level of just complete body sleep. But most of us can get to stage 3, and that still has the restorative properties. All of the restoration of the nerves and the muscles and joints and tissues, all of that starts at 3 and progresses through 4. Now, that's sleep. That's passive. Rest is actually more physical. You have to purposely work on getting the rest your body needs, whether that's a prayer walk. In other words, you're not walking for exercise. You're walking just to get your circulation moving around because that's how the body restores itself. You don't get new tissue built without fresh blood and oxygen getting to those tissues. So passive walking, stretching exercises. There's something now called holy yoga, whether you agree with yoga or not. Really, the stretching part of it, not the chanting and all of that, is not even necessary. As far as the physical part, it's just the body relaxation portions of it. Massage therapy, even self-massage. Those are all ways to get physical rest. And what happens with that is we get our body in the state to be able to go to sleep. Because honestly, how many times have you laid in bed and you were trying to go to sleep, but you're like, oh, something hurts. Or you lay down and you think, your mind's running through all of this different stuff, and you're trying to redo conversations that you had that didn't go the way you wanted them to go, or you're running through your to-do list for tomorrow, when honestly the best thing you could do for tomorrow is to go to sleep right now. So that we have to get past that point where when we say rest, it only comes to mind as sleeping. Because really, rest is so much more complicated than that. And it's not complicated to the level of making it stressful. It's complicated to the level of making it beneficial. Because I think we've dumbed it down to the point that it's no longer beneficial.
Mm. And that's the key there, the beneficial part. Because we're all into this clean eating and, oh, I don't want to put certain chemicals in my body. I get all of that. It's all important. But like you said, rest, you got food, rest, and, you know, pooing, basically. If you want to think about the natural life stages of what we all do. We all need food. We all have to excrete some way, somehow. And we all need sleep. Otherwise, we're not going to be.
That's true.
I mean, we're just not. That's how God created us. Yes, we need a roof over our head, you know, how we live and the choices that we make, where we live, et cetera. Those are all extra that fall off of that. But there's those basics. Why do you think so many people, Sandra, are walking around like zombies?
Because they refuse to rest. I think so many of us are afraid. Mm. they're either like myself, they've worked for everything they have. So they're afraid of rest because they're thinking, well, what am I missing out on if I take time to rest? You know, that fear of missing out on something because they make those personal boundaries and say no to something. Sometimes it's a fear of losing friendships or relationships. You know, there's a lot of people-pleasing behaviors that tend to happen that open us to a stressed out, non-restful lifestyle because we end up getting in situations that we honestly would just rather say no to, but we say yes because we fear that our no will not be accepted. And so we end up having more activities, even things we don't want to do. And it just creates a cycle. And what ends up happening is when you get in that cycle of not resting, it becomes harder to rest. I think the mindset is, well, I don't really need it. You know, I'm above that. I don't really need rest. But the challenge is, what are you missing because you're not resting? Because honestly, if most people look at their lives who are living that kind of high pressure, high stress life, in resting, we end up getting better productivity. You end up getting more creativity. You end up being happier, more fulfilled in the activities that you're doing, and the work starts having more benefit and more joy, which makes you want to work more because you're not just working for the sake of work. You're actually taking the time to enjoy it and to reflect on it and to look back and see how to improve it. So there's so many benefits that I think when people take a step back and really start looking at rest for what it is, then they start seeing that, okay, maybe this isn't just about missing out and turning off activities in my life.
Very good advice. And she's not telling you to take a pill. She's telling you to get some rest. R-E-S-T. Well, you share many stories and experiences in your book, some personal or some regarding patients or interactions that you've had with other people in your life. One story that stood out to me was Miss Karen. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Miss Karen just because I think, especially for us moms, you know, it's something I personally identified with. Now, you know you're going to have to pick up your own copy of Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity to read her whole story. But I wanted you to share a little bit about Karen because I think this is what a lot of us are trying to do. And I know I was one. I was Karen at one time, raising my right hand saying, yeah, I went and I'm like, something's got to be wrong. And the doctor's like, everything looks good to me. And I'm like, you're crazy. I'm not, you are. Talk a little bit about Karen.
She's common. But that's one thing I think that she's so common that most women can relate to her, even if they don't have her list of ailments. But she came in through the clinic that day and she was one of those patients where, you know, she had her little list, and I'm not against lists. I actually tell my patients to bring lists because I think it helps facilitate the discussions if they kind of know what they want to say. But she had one of those real lists. I mean, it was long. And she came in with her list of complaints, and I listened, and I thought, wow, how can, you know, she looked fine. How could someone who looks so normal have so many things going on with them? And it was everything from couldn't sleep at night, couldn't concentrate. She thought she might have dementia. But this was a young woman. I mean, dementia doesn't typically happen in people her age. She thought she had some type of thyroid deficiency, just all these different issues. And in internal medicine, I mean, you have to give a patient the benefit of the doubt. I'm not living in her body. So if she's telling me she's feeling all of these things, you know, the big part of medicine is the history and physical, which is basically just what the patient says and then what you examine. Now, I didn't examine anything, but she had so many complaints. I thought, I'm going to, you know, give this woman the benefit of the doubt and order some tests, some typical tests that would show the, you know, typical reasons that someone would be that distraught and have that much fatigue and problems like she was having. And everything was normal. It wasn't her thyroid. It wasn't her adrenals. Her heart was good. Her lungs were good. Everything was excellent. And so I go, you know, she comes back and I go back and I tell her this, you know, Karen, everything's fantastic. You are in perfect health. And she went off on me like I just cussed her out. So, and I'm like, she's like, there's got to be something wrong. You know, you doctors can't find anything wrong. And I'm thinking to my, and when she said that, it was almost as if It's as if God was kind of saying, look at her. You're looking at yourself, how you were when you first started this journey. Mm-hmm. You were just, I was just too proud to really go to a doctor because I was one. You know, I could do the test on myself if I wanted to. So, and I had. So I knew the symptoms of it, but I hadn't really started thinking about it in a way of how I could help my patients go through the same process that I had kind of taken myself through, the same journey that God had taken me through. I hadn't really thought through how what that would look like. And in that moment, it just came to me, well, do to give her what you gave to yourself. Every day, just figure out a way to connect with me. Every day, figure out a way to incorporate a different type of rest. And that's, you know, I'd already kind of gone through the research and thinking through the 7 types of rest. And it was just a matter of putting it into applicable steps that someone could follow along and then just see how that changed their own life. And so that's what I did for her. I asked her, you know, do you really want to change? And if you want to change, this is what I'm offering. I'm offering to kind of walk a journey with you that is not a 15-minute doctor's appointment. I'm going to send you a text. It's really simple. I'm going to, you know, if you're willing to give me your cell phone, this is before like electronic records were big and stuff. Yes. You're going to send me your cell phone number. I'll send you a little text of something I want you to do that day. And she's like, I don't have time for all that. I was like, it's not going to be really complicated, you know, no more than like 5 minutes of something you have to do, but it's something that would help you start seeing that your real problem isn't that you have a medical problem, it's that you have a rest deficit. Mm. And that rest deficit is manifesting itself in every area of your life. And that's what we started working on. She was the first sacred rest challenger who went through the process. It wasn't quite as nice and neat as it is now for people who sign up for it. It's a little bit more grassroots, but it worked. And it really just changed who she was. Everything about her changed. Her personality, when she first came in, she was, you know, you see those people sometimes who come in and you just know their energy is not in a happy place there. They're upset and they're yelling at everybody and no one makes them happy. And, you know, they're just mad at life. But, you know, on the subsequent visits, as she came back, this is someone who was smiling, who would be chatting with my nurse. And I would have to kind of peek in the room like, when are y'all going to get done so I can start my visit? What is going on here? It was a whole different person. And I loved how the journal entries kind of reflected how she was changing. It wasn't just this that she was sleeping better. It wasn't just that her body felt better. Her mood was better. Her relationship with her children were better. It was that everything changed. It changed her whole personality because she was no longer kind of living under the bondage of stress and striving. And she kind of found that broad, wide open place that God promises, where you've got the freedom to be you, to express your likes and dislikes, to say no without feeling guilt or shame, to take a moment and enjoy your life without feeling like you're missing out on something. It changed everything.
Wow. What a testimony. And a testimony truly to you, because not very many physicians will take this extra step. What would you tell that Karen who's listening right now, who's just saying, okay, I am laying on the floor right now. I was you, doctor, and mm-hmm. I have been living this life, and I'm tired, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm mad. I don't feel good anymore. What would you tell them as their kind of their first baby steps on what to do?
The very first thing I would recommend, I think the first step is just what you said. It's just recognizing it. Recognizing even that there's a problem, because so often people don't recognize it, so they don't even attempt to try it. So the first step is to recognize that feeling like that is not normal. It's not normal to wake up in the morning and be just as exhausted as when you went to bed. It is not normal to wake up in the morning and have no joy about wanting to start that day, feeling like, oh, here's another day. Here we go around the same go around again. That is not normal. That is not the life that God, that is not an abundant life. It does not reflect John 10:10. It is not your ultimate location of where your life should be. So if that's where you start at, believe me, I understand, because I started in that same place. But you have to recognize first that that's not a permanent place. That's a part of the journey to get to where God's taking you to. And so the next step is just starting to look at what needs to change? And that's really why I came up with the rest quiz for people to actually go on, and why in the book I give, like, after each type of rest sections to check off, does this describe you? Have you noticed this in your life? Because I want them to see, oh, maybe this is an area I need to look at. Because once you can recognize which of the different types of rest are really affecting you, then you cannot have to look at all the different seven. You can pinpoint on that one and start fixing it. Because what I find is when you fix the one that is giving you the most distress, the rest of them come easier. Because you get a level of wholeness quickly in fixing the one that's most depleted. And then from there, you have more energy to kind of keep doing the other ones to help get them in alignment. And for me, and even for Karen, what I found was that the one that she had the biggest issue with was social rest. We were people pleasers.
Yeah.
She was doing stuff she didn't really want to do just for the sake of doing it to keep other people happy. And the one person she wasn't keeping happy was herself. And I was doing the same things. You know, I was the one who would, if there was something going on at church or at my kid's school, I would be the one that would get the phone call. And if I hated it, I would still say, okay, and go ahead and do it. And what it ends up doing is, you, if you already have a very full life, it ends up overwhelming it. Yes. And then once it feels overwhelmed, then you start feeling under the weight of that.
Mm. And then you're laying flat on the floor on your planks and going, help me, I don't know what to do. Oh, exactly. My goodness. Well, I just want to thank you, because there are those women out there, and men too, but I specifically believe women are silent sufferers when it comes to rest. Our men are too, but you know, God made us women as nurturers, mm-hmm. and we don't want to say no to anybody. Before we go too much further, I want you to break down the mm-hmm. seven rest that there are, so we can understand really the seven types of rest within your book that you talk about.
Down, because obviously that could be like a 2-hour conversation.
Exactly.
I'll do a really quick breakdown. The first one's physical rest, and that one's probably the easiest to understand. Although there are, as we talked about, two different types, passive and then active. And so when I'm talking about rest in the book, I'm more focusing on the active type of physical rest in relaxing the body rather than the passive type of sleep. So that's physical. Mental rest is really about just kind of clearing out your background noise. Most of us are constantly either having our own negative voices in our head, or we are going through conversations or tallying up our to-do list in our mind. And mental rest is about learning how to turn that off, or how to reprogram your mental conversations that you have with yourself, so that they're not draining you, but they're actually uplifting you and affirming you. Then there's social rest. Social rest has to do, that's probably one that a lot of people aren't familiar with. Social rest really has to do with being authentic and getting to that point of being able to say a no and have that be what it is. It's having true relationships with people that are not formed on a bunch of falsities. That is a relationship that's very authentic. And then we also have emotional rest. Emotional rest and social rest tend to go be very similar in that they both deal with people. But emotional rest allows us to be open without the fear of shame and without the fear of being judged. And then we have, let's see, I'm not missing some. I'm sure I'm missing some.
Social, emotional
rest. Sensory rest is one that a lot of people may not be familiar with. That one has to specifically do with our five senses. A good example of that would be someone who works in an environment where they're hearing a bunch of background noise, and you don't really understand how that's affecting your body. But if you're like in a cubicle, in a room with multiple cubicles and people are on multiple phones and computers, there's a hum that happens in those kind of settings. And that background noise actually is having an effect on your body and your nervous system. So when you leave and go home and you feel wound up and you thought, well, all I did was sit at a desk all day, those things have an effect on you. No different than a mom who has a bunch of toddlers and the toddlers are touching on them all the time. And then their husband comes home and they don't want to be touched by their husband. Well, they're on touch overload. They're needing a break from that. They would do better with mental stimulation from their husband. And they would probably get further in their relationship that way than with physical at that moment. So it's just a thinking about how am I, it's my senses being engaged on the day-to-day basis, and where are they being overwhelmed? Then we have spiritual. Spiritual is one a lot of people understand to, overall, but one of the things that I like to make sure people really get with spiritual rest is that it's about building a relationship. It's seeing God not just as a religious figure or as this kind of entity, but actually as someone that they can have relationship with, because that takes it to a different level. You know, if you start thinking about, you know, what if I wrote a text to God every hour, what would I say? Or if I treated God the way I treated my lover when we first started building our relationship, what would that look like? You know, we talk about God as being the lover of our soul, but have we allowed him to love us like that? And so it's opening ourselves up to just a new way of thinking about how deep, how intimate can that relationship be? Because the deeper in intimacy that it goes, the better the rest is as far as spiritual rest. And then lastly is creative rest. And creative rest is another that a lot of people may not be familiar with, but that is the ability to allow yourself to allow beauty in any form, whether it's the creative arts, whether it's natural beauty, whether it's a child's laughter, wherever you're finding beauty at, to allow beauty to awaken awe and wonder within you. Because when we break away and we take those times for sabbatical, or we take those times to go to the lake or to the ocean or wherever, and we're appreciating everything that's around us, we're reflecting on the good in our lives, we get the same response God did. You know, when he looked back in the first days of creation, he said, this is good. We need to do the same thing in our lives. We need to have those times that we look back and appreciate the good, because when we start tasting the good in our life, we are more willing to be producers of that good. And we do it with joy because we know that we can experience it. We know that we're not just people who are going to produce, but we're people who are going to produce good things and we can still enjoy them in the process.
Home run number 7. Yes, I love it. This book is one that you can take, and once when you get, because you actually have an instructional point before you dive into the book, you tell us, let me give you a little information. So I love that part. But then you break it down into 3 parts. Why rest, the gifts of rest, and the promises of rest. Mm-hmm. We talked about the 7 types, but what I like even further that you make rest an acronym. Talk about how you break that down in each of your chapters so people understand, because if you've got someone who's kind of nerdy and wants to go a little bit deeper, wants to understand the science and the research, or if you want someone who stays kind of surface level and I just want to get the idea and do my best to implement it fast, it mm-hmm. serves all purposes.
Well, I think that's when I looked at it as if I was talking to a room full of my patients, how do I convey this information so that most of them can absorb it? And the reality is my patient population spans from attorneys who are like, everything's got to be documented and they've got to see all the specifics, to 90-year-olds who are like, just tell me what I got to do. I don't have much time. You know, give me the facts. Tell me exactly what you want me to do and how to fix this problem. So I thought between these two extremes, I need to have a book that's, first of all, a quick read that you can, the chapters are short. You can quickly go through it, but they're condensed enough that you can get what you need out of it to actually then walk away and apply it to your life. And so I hope that's what I accomplished within that. And what I use is the REST acronym, because I feel like it helps with each of the 7 types of rest to kind of focus on how we're going to do that. So the R is about really just assessing kind of where we're at, finding out where are you at in this current situation. So it's the beginning of the process to kind of look at where we're at. E is evaluating your current position, determining whether or not you even have an issue. So that's where we have the checklist where people can start looking and checking off what's going on with them. The S is about science and research, is looking at all the different specific science things that are out about that particular type of rest. And some of those, because of the type of rest hasn't really been well defined. Like if you type in creative rest, you're not going to really find very much about creative rest, except for what's talked about within this book. And that's because it's not really something that's defined. It's something that, as I was studying rest in the Bible and studying kind of, God, what does rest mean to you? You know, what are the aspects of rest? And what is it that I, just me personally, was missing in my life? And that creative part of it was a big part of it, because creativity feels a little bit vulnerable. You know, writing poetry, writing a book, painting art, it all feels very vulnerable because it's subjective. It's your own expression of how something is manifesting in your life. So kind of looking at some of the different research of that, pulling out what some other artists are saying about just the art of creativity and what happens on the inside of them and how they get to that point, really just helped me see how that is a type of rest, because it's a letting down of your guard, and so to speak, that gives you a peace. And then the last part is the T, which is today's application, where I walk them through the actual, you know, what can I do today? Give me one thing I can do right now today and take off with this thing. You know I need, you know, physical rest. Give me one thing I can do right now to do. And so for each type of rest, I think I give maybe three, maybe four on a couple of them, but most of them have at least three specific things they can do on that day, right? As they're reading it, they can pick one or do all three and just start seeing the process of it. Start walking it out for themselves.
Well, it was very applicable to me. I loved it because it was somewhat concise. If I needed to, I could just go right to what I was thinking. And on your creative part, yeah, that's the one that kind of hit me. I think anybody on the creative part of things, when you're talking about creative rest, I didn't think about it that way. But as an entrepreneur, as a woman who owns her own business, and a woman who stays at home, this creative rest is very important, and it's not talked about. And for that, I would tell you to pick up this book, because just being able to understand that portion of it is huge. And seeing it through God's eyes too, which I love how you paint that picture. Why is it that you feel that we kind of assume this guilt and this shame as to not just I got to go to bed early, but mm-hmm. I got to just keep doing the do. I got to stay busy. And I've got to, if I'm not busy, if I can't answer the question, how are you, with, oh, I'm so busy, then I am not worthy. Why is it that we as human beings, as women and men, come in and say, rest really is important, and that's one thing I can give up?
Well, I think it falls back on one of the gifts that I actually talk about, which is the gift of acceptance. I actually talk about it within that chapter about how I felt that really my work was how I was valued. So the more work I could produce, the more of a producer I could be, was the more valuable I was. So if I could see more patients and have more accolades and, you know, create more awards or whatever, if I could do more, then I would be more. And that's just such a faulty mindset, because what happens is you excel at producing and you start failing at enjoying. And so the paradigm gets further and further apart as you begin to produce more, and it puts more on your plate, and then you produce more and it's even more on your plate. And yes, you might be climbing the corporate ladder, or you might have a thriving business. And then what happens, you see so many people who have these great careers and they're successful on the outside, but their marriage falls apart, mm-hmm. or their kids, they don't know their kids. They don't know what's going on in their kids' life. They're not happy anymore. They gain 60 pounds. All these things start happening. You're like, well, they're so successful. Why aren't they happier? It's because they're great at producing, but they're failing at enjoying. They have yet to learn how to actually look back on what they're producing and tasting. So they're producing these fruit in their life, but they have not tasted the fruit. And so, you know, we talk about taste and see that the Lord is good. Unless you taste, you don't see the goodness. Yeah. Producing by itself does not give a sense of satisfaction and does not allow us to examine and experience the goodness. All it does is it keeps us busy. and you have to produce to taste, but you can produce and never taste, and that's when it becomes dangerous.
Okay, you all just need to sit on that one. Rewind it 3 or 4 times. Listen to it again, because that is gold. That is so gold. I just wish people would get it, because we are so trapped in our technology. And I love it because, look, you and I, yes, we're both in the U.S., but we're in different states, hundreds of miles away from each other. We get to chat. We can record this. We can share it across the world. I love technology. The advancements in medicine. You know, beginning to have a better quality of life, a longer life. All of that is good, but it's impending on our real life that God created for, you know, for us. In your journey, Dr. Sandra, what did God reveal to you in your heart as what he sees as the importance to rest?
For me, it really started out with a scripture in Isaiah. And God, long before I ever even started getting a full understanding of this rest, he started kind of whispering this thought to me. Because even before my son was born, that was a book of the Bible that was just precious to me. So many portions of the Bible were precious to me from Isaiah. And as I was looking into kind of just how drained and exacerbated I was in my life, it was in the book of Isaiah that God spoke with me the loudest. And it was in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 12 through 15, where he talks about, he's talking to the Israelites and he's telling them that, you know, you would rather work under these hard taskmasters and keep earning every blessing by your own blood, sweat, and tears when I'm offering you a better way, but you keep refusing my better way. You keep telling me no, and I keep showing you that this is a better way. And then he says, in returning and rest shall you be saved, and quietness and trust shall be your strength. And that spoke to me so deeply, because that's what I felt like I needed to do. I needed to return to his way of doing things. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, in the commandments, the one that it tells us to remember is the one we have pretty much forgotten. You know, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Yes. And that's really where the title sacred rest comes from, is that it's holy. It is a holy experience. Rest isn't simply about taking time away or, you know, going on vacations or, you know, even having a day that you just lounge on the sofa, which is what most people call rest. You know, they're just going to lounge and watch TV. That's not what rest is. Rest is restorative, and it's restorative because God is pouring something back to us in each of these activities that we do. Even when it's not something spiritual, it's a time of restoration, and it's restoring us because we're doing it his way. We're allowing our bodies to settle back down so that we can be improved and built back up. And I think the hardest part of that, that he really had to get me to understand, is that rest and trust go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And returning and rest in quietness, which is that solitude, breaking away, and trust. Because we have to trust him in the rest. It's impossible for anyone who is a workaholic to step away from that work. If you're an entrepreneur and you feel like everything you do has to come from your own blood, sweat, tears, and work, is that really a blessing? Because a blessing is something that flows down from a place higher than you. And so for it to flow down, you first got to be open to receive it. And that's what rest does. You trust yourself to open up. And in the opening up, God pours back into that. And he pours in more than you could ever accomplish yourself.
Yes, all the more reason why you're going to want to pick up your own copy of Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. You probably are feeling a little crazy right now. So grab your book. You're going to want to have it. This is not one that you'll just put on a bookshelf. You won't read it and put it away. In fact, I would say buy 2 copies. Buy a copy for yourself so you can actually get into it. Rip it apart. Man, color it up. Really dig into it. And then give it to someone that you love. Give it to someone that you care about. Because this sacred rest is key. And I think if we would come to see how God sees it through his eyes, that we would stop for a moment and we would see the beauty. We would understand what he really wants us to see. Yeah, we can use the technology. We can have fun. We can enjoy Instagram stories. We can connect. We can go, you know, horseback riding every day or dune buggy riding, whatever it is. But if we don't have that sacred rest that he has created for us, we're more than missing out. More than missing out. Oh, okay. So you're a mom. I'm a mom. I got to bring it to kids. How in the world? Right. How in the world can we teach them what rest is? Because number one, most of us listening right now, we're not modeling rest. I'm trying to. I really do try in my household because of what I do in my life and how I coach. I do try to model that. And so therefore, I do try to teach that. But I would say the average person out there is not doing that. And it's not of their fault. They just don't know how. What can we do to encourage rest for our children and teach them so they're not suffering by the time, you know, they've gone through med school and with honors and everything?
Well, I think that's great is to really start looking at what the parents can do to start incorporating it. Because, you know, at a certain age, when they're below the teen years, you have so much control over their day to day that teaching them to rest is much easier at that age, because you can have those times where you say, okay, we're going to turn off the TV, or that you can limit their electronic use and force them to go outside, force them to be creative, you know, go out with them and look at things, explore nature. You know, I think kids actually learn rest a lot more than we adults do. And that's actually one activity that I have in the Sacred Rest Challenge, is to go and watch a child enjoy nothing. You've ever seen a child pick up like a leaf or something, and they're having the most phenomenal time with this simple thing, a box or a leaf or something that just means nothing to you. You're ready to throw it in the trash, and they are like overwhelmed with joy over this thing. And you're like, I paid $500 for this Xbox, you know, and you're playing with this $2 whatever. You know, if we could get back to that, just think how much better our lives would be. So I think young kids can naturally do rest better. They nap. You know, they listen to their bodies. I think one place to start with physical rest is to stop telling our kids to ignore pain. And I think that's something we do often. As parents, you know, they'll come in, they'll have a scratch or whatever, and you're like, oh, put a Band-Aid, and you say, oh, it's just a little boo-boo, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then they can become bigger adults where they get something and they don't want to say anything to you because they think you're going to downplay it. And now, you don't want to raise a hypochondriac, so don't get me wrong. You have to teach them, you know, can you rank your pain? Same like we do with medicine. Is it a 1? Do you barely feel it? Or is it like a 10? You feel like somebody's cutting your hand off, you know, so that they can kind of get an idea of it as they're getting older. But so often what I find is I'll have teens that'll show up in the office and they'll say, well, my knee's been hurting for like 3 months, but I don't want to bother anybody. And they've got something major going on. They've got a sarcoma or some kind of cancer that should have been caught 2 months ago. And we're just now catching it because they've been taught to ignore their body pain. Mm-hmm. And part of that physical rest is first acknowledging what's hurting. Because once you acknowledge it, then you can try to say, was it a muscle? You know, what's going on? Why am I feeling that? And then with the other types of rest, as they get older, you know, things like emotional and social rest and creative rest becomes more important as we get up in the teen years, because now they're trying to build relationships. And so you want your children to understand that they can be confident in who they are and not be performers. I think all of us grow up with this mindset that we always have to have our best self out there. And you want that when you're in a professional arena. You want to bring your personal best. But there has to be those socially restorative relationships where you can let that down, where you don't have to be the CEO in your bedroom. You know, you can let that down and you can relax and you can, you know, not have to be in control every moment of every day. And with teens, they have to know that their home is a bit of a safe place. So even though they may be the macho football player, whoever, you know, if there's a death in the family, they can cry on your shoulder and it's okay. That you're going to love them and respect them and see them in the same light as you did before, you know, they had a depression episode or they have an anxiety attack or whatever it is. That they have a place where they know that they can be themselves. They can acknowledge whatever their personal truth is in that moment without fear. And so, and part of that is modeling. Part of that is being a parent who sometimes says, I screwed up. You know, I shouldn't have said that to you. I shouldn't have done that. You know, I did this and I was wrong. You know, and let them, and that way they can start seeing what that looks like. What acceptance looks like in the raw without all the pretty on it. just in the real family, when you things happen and you have to learn to love and accept and to heal and to move past that.
Mm. Beautiful. Take notes. I'm just saying, takes lots of notes and it's time to apply them. It just is. You should have written this book like years ago.
I had to live it first.
That's true. Yes, you did. Well, in your living and going through the journey, what did God reveal in your journey that kind of sets you off like, I never thought I was doing that, and really kind of pulled back the curtain for you?
I'd probably say one of the biggest ones was, I talk about a story about the unknown mama who came into our prayer group in the book. That really surprised me. I've never really considered myself to be a jealous or envious type person. I mean, I look at other people's lives and my mindset has always been, you know, if they can do it, I can do it. I just need to apply myself, you know, and do it. But she walked in with something I couldn't figure out how to do. You know, I had already kind of orchestrated my life to get to the point where I thought I wanted it to be. But she carried a level of confidence that was not something you could conjure up. It was something from within. And and God really made me take a look that, you know, you see people every day. I see, you know, lots and lots of people come in. I have to learn how to read people, so to speak, to some degree, just within my own medical profession. And this was someone who could not be read. It was such a mystery about her persona and her life, and I couldn't put a kind of pinpoint exactly what that was. And so what God did in that time was that he really drew me into her life, and we ended up becoming amazing friends. That we, as I talk about, we go on this trip together, this girl's weekend out at this conference, and she asked me a question that honestly, it was as if God has spoken to me himself. And she says, are you happy? And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm happy. I'm as happy as the next girl. And she goes, that's what I fear. What if the next girl isn't happy? Stop looking at her as the finish line. And what ended up happening is, when I was saying that, I was thinking about her without saying her. I think I'm I think I'm as happy as you are. You know, I feel like I'm happy. And she narrowed in on something I hadn't even thought about. I was looking at people who had lives that I wanted, or something about their life that I wanted. And I saw that as the finish line, which in essence, what that does is that limits God. It takes him out of the spectrum of being able to do all things and to abound in all areas. And says, I just want it in this straight line path. So just give it to me the way she has it, because that looks so good. But what if what he has for you looks even better, because it's for you? It fits your life and what he wants to do for you personally. And that just really opened up a whole new mindset of taking the limits off of what God can do, what my life should look like. If I even should paint a picture, I'm all for goals. You know, I have a 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan. I have all that written out. But
you're a physician.
Yes. So when I have that all written out, I always say, God, this is my 5, 10-year, 20-year plan. Here you go. Let's see what you want to do with it. Because sometimes he takes that and it's like, you're thinking one direction and he's taking it on a whole different way. Because 5 years ago, we wouldn't be here. Because I had no desire, you know, to really write any books or do any of that, you know. 10 years ago now, I should say, my first book came out in 2001, but I had no intentions of doing any of that. That was not even a thought on my radar. So you just never know. You never know where God's going to take you and kind of what path he's going to lead you on.
It's called His Divine Intervention, and he obviously had to take you to the floor.
Literally.
It was like WWE with God and Dr. Chandra. They're down out. Oh, I love it. All the more reason that you all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Sacred Rest. Recover your life, renew your energy, restore your sanity. When the readers pick up their book, what is your hope as they go through it that they will gain as they really begin to practice what you've written?
That they'll start enjoying their life more. Really, the first promise that they will recover their life, because I see so many of us. When I think about it, I think about their life like an EKG. You know, you're looking at an EKG and you've got the nice little spikes as it goes along. And I think so many of us, our life is just flatlined. There are no more spikes. It's just flat. And so when I say recover your life, I pray that when they open up the book and they start reading the pages and start applying some of that, the applications, that it's as if God comes in with like the defibrillator and shocks their heart back into rhythm, that they start having the rhythm of rest, so to speak, where they understand that they're not constantly having to strive and push for every blessing, that He wants to bless them. But those blessings come when we draw away, when we come away with Him, and we find those times to restore our lives, restore whatever it is that we're being depleted, whether that's physical or mental or emotional, spiritual, sensory, social, or creative, whatever the area is that we're allowing ourselves to identify, I'm being depleted in this area every day, and I need to make an effort to be restored in that same area so that when I leave that day, then I can actually get strengthened in my sleep and come out the next day empowered and ready to go forward and energized, you know, not starting the morning like, oh no, it's morning again, but yes, it's morning. I can get started. I'm not running for a cup of coffee just because I need the jolt. I'm running for the cup of coffee because I like coffee, you know, and I want to drink it. And it's just a whole different way of enjoying life. So that's my prayer, is that their life will be revived really by the power of God.
Amen. Let's just do this. So pick up your own copy of Sacred Rest. Remember, we will have all that information for you in the show notes. Now, in your book, though, we mentioned earlier about there's a quiz that you can take. It's in the back of the book. But you also have a challenge, a 30-day challenge, I believe. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, the quiz is in the back of the book. I also, because some people don't like the paper, having to check it off, they like their books to stay nice and clean. They don't want to mark it up like a lot of us do. I actually put the quiz online as well at restquiz.com, so they can go online and take an actual online assessment where I tally up the score for it for you and spit it out for you to make it easier. But so that's available in both ways. And then after you get that information, there is a 30-day rest. Sacred Rest Challenge. And that challenge is an email that comes each day. It's extremely short. And what it does, it takes the seven types of rest, divides them up over the 30 days, and it gives just quick applications you can do that day. And they're very simple. And like I said, one of them was observing a child. Learn what play and looks like. Just observe a child playing. Because so often we get to the point where we forget what that should look like. And we just because we're adults does not mean we have to let go of life's playing moments. You know, sometimes I think it's Ted Decker once told me that we were at a conference together and he was the speaker. And he said something to the effect of, we're all kids in God's big sandbox, just playing together. And that was such a great visual to think about. We're all kids in God's big sandbox just playing together. But, you know, we don't act like that. We don't act like we're playing together. We act like we're fighting with each other most of the time. And so to get back into that mindset of, how can I have fun today with the people in my life, whether that's a coworker where you're going to crack jokes with or something, or, you know, whatever, just to lighten up the mood a little bit. Does it all have to be adulting? Does it all have to be so serious? Can we have fun with each other with it without, you know, without the world falling apart? I think we can.
I think we can. And I know people are going to want to find you and connect with you. How can they really dive into you besides obviously your website and all, but where can they find you?
I blog specifically at ichoosemybestlife.com. So that's where I blog and that's where I keep all my resources. There's lots of different resources on that page, as well as additional information about my ministry.
Fabulous. Well, after you pick up your own copy of Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity, you're going to want to go ahead and get on to the 30-day challenge. I know I'm probably going to be headed that way. I haven't had a chance because I had to finish the book. Now I need rest, so I'm going to go and make sure I take a few moments to do that, because no matter how much you think you have it all put together, there's always space for learning. And I think that's really, really important. Well, before I let you go, because we could be here forever, so we may just have to have you back. We could take a nap together or something. I don't know. But before I let you go, the series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
My story has gifted me the ability to open my heart in places that I wouldn't have expected to open them. I grew up very reserved, very insecure. My mindset was that I should keep it all private, keep it into myself, not share the pain with anybody, not let people see the brokenness, not let them experience the trueness of what I've gone through in my life. And what has that my strength has been in knowing that, in sharing the broken, is that I even mentioned in the book, we all go through brokenness. Brokenness is part of the journey. And in the brokenness, what it does is it lets us know that pain is always just a testimony. In medicine, when we have someone who has something that's painful, what that tells us is that healing is possible, because dead things don't hurt. So in the pain of life, in the pain of disappointment, in the pain of struggle, in all those areas, all it's doing is testifying to you that wholeness and healing is possible. And so there has to be a moment of braveness that comes upon you that says, I'm going to take the journey, even if it means I have to travel through the valley of the pain to get to the promise that God is offering me.
How beautiful. And you're beautiful, both inside and out. Well, I can't say that because I haven't looked at any of your x-rays or anything internally. Sorry, I had to throw that in with you being a physician and all. But you have been truly a delight. And I'm so glad that you really took the time in your journey. And you're taking more than just the test the doctors run and saying, you know what? There is more than just the test results.
Yeah.
And we have to look at the other side. And it's all sacred rest.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chandra Dalton-Smith, and I cannot wait to chat with you again soon. Many blessings.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.